Spotify now allows you to rate the podcasts that you love on the app itself. So if you enjoy listening to Stories After Dark, please give it a 5-star rating by going to the show's main page on Spotify and clicking on the rating or star icon below the podcast description. Thank you. The Philippines is a largely Catholic nation, which means that most Filipinos believe in the existence of God and his angels in heaven and Satan and his demons in hell. Symbols and images of Jesus, the Virgin Mary, and the angels can often be seen in households and public venues, and names associated with these divine beings are generously given to people and places. There's a particular tomb in Metro Manila, though, that has a statue of the devil standing triumphantly over Saint Michael, the exact reverse of how the archangel is usually portrayed in pictures and sculptures, and there's a barangay in the capital city of the Philippines that bears the mark of the devil. You're listening to Stories After Dark, a Philippine true crime and mystery podcast, powered by Anchor and released exclusively on Spotify, with new episodes out every week. These are the stories of Don Simeon Bernardo's demon tomb statue that's been said to come alive at night in the eerily named Barangay 666 in Ermita, Manila. Lending his voice briefly in this episode is Gideon Mendoza, co-host of Creepsilog, a Spotify-exclusive true crime and horror comedy podcast. You can listen to Creepsilog exclusively on Spotify. Cemeteries and graveyards are eerie places in general, no matter how well-maintained they are, or even if you visit them in daylight. At the Tugatog Public Cemetery in Malabon, Metro Manila, is something that makes the burial ground even creepier, a decades-old statue of a demon that's been said to grow in size and even roam the cemetery at night. The statue sits on top of a tomb, and it's of a winged demon, specifically Lucifer or Satan himself, standing victoriously over and about to plunge a spear into the Archangel Michael. The devil's body is black and the wings red, though these have already faded with time, and the devil's arms and spear broken due to the elements. On the right side of the wall behind the statue is a bas-relief carving of Adam and Eve, presumably to portray the first sin of man. On the opposite end, on the left, is a plaque with an inscribed conversation between Lucifer and the Archangel Michael. Quote, Lucifer speaking, Bakit ka nakikialam sa kaharian ko? Dito sa lupa ay hindi na kayo kundi ako ang hari. Ako ang nagturo kay Eva at Adan kaya nagkaroon ng sangkatauhan. San Miguel in response,
Ang lupa at langit ay gawa ng aking Panginoon, kaya hanggang dito ang aming kapangyarihan.
Lucifer speaking, Mulaan hambog, kung ano ang ibig ko, sharitong nasusunod, at hindi ang ibig hamo, digmaan, apihan, dayaan, sugal, lahat ng layaw ng katawan na ibibigay ko sa tao, pati mga alagad ng Panginoon mo na papasunod ko, ano pa ang ginagawa mo rito? San Miguel speaking under his breath,
Panginoong kong nasa langit, nasaan ang kapangyarihan mo?
San Miguel speaking out loud,
Tao! Tulungan ninyo akong labanan ng kasamaan, pairali ng katarungan at pag-ibig sa kapwa. Iwaksi ang kasakiman sa salapi at kapangyarihan na pinagmumula ng ligalig.
End quote. The conversation is basically Lucifer proclaiming his dominion over the world and Archangel Michael arguing that heaven and earth are the Lord's, praying to God and then pleading with mankind to not let sin and love of money and power win. The entire inscription is an allegory reportedly written by Simeon M. Bernardo, the man whose tomb the statue sits on top of. Don Simeon, as he's often referred to, was born in the Spanish colonial period on April 21, 1869, a native of Barangay Concepcion in the city of Malabon. He was a fish pond operator who died wealthy at the age of 65 on August 15, 1934 due to a heart attack. Don Simeon wasn't a Satanist, but he didn't believe that God existed, which was why when he was younger, he was arrested by the Guardia Civil as he was considered to be rebelling against the Catholic Church's teachings and was therefore a filibustero. He was imprisoned in Fort Santiago, forced to work and tortured. In one particular act of torture, he was made to drink water that had been used for washing feces. These stories were in Don Simeon's diary, reportedly found by the Bernardo family helper Leonida Santos. Those experiences solidified Don Simeon's belief that God did not exist, and so strong was his belief that before he died, he asked all of his 10 children to swear to live by it, and he had a statue built to represent this and gave instructions to have it placed on top of his tomb upon his death as a reminder that evil was prevailing over the good in this world. Of Don Simeon's 10 children, 7 became Catholics when they got married, but the remaining 3, who were all women and never married, stuck to their promise to their father. One of those 3, attorney Sumilang Bernardo, who was interviewed in 1990 by ABS-CBN for the TV show Magandang Gabi Bayan, said that she still didn't go to church. She explained her disbelief in God and heaven this way: if there was indeed a place called heaven, someone would have discovered it already. And if there was a place called hell, someone would have been able to dig to it by now. And as such, hell couldn't be a fiery place underneath the earth, but rather the earth itself where we walk and experience trials and tribulations every day. She said, however, that she didn't believe in the devil, and that the figure on his father's tombstone that's supposed to be Lucifer is a human. But whether it's of a human or demon, the statue of a dark and menacing figure on top of a defeated angel is a scary sight to behold for the mostly Catholic visitors of the cemetery, likely unaware of the story behind it. There were rumors that the devil's statue comes to life at night to walk around the cemetery and terrorize people, and that it had even grown in size as attested to by visitors. This was why a rosary was once hung on the devil's arms and a steel cage was built around the statue. But according to Lubis Bernardo, one of Don Simeon's grandchildren, people who hated seeing the statue were throwing rocks at it, so Sumilang had asked Lubis in the late 1970s to replace the broken figure. The replacement was approximately 5 inches bigger, which would explain why some visitors remembered the statue to be smaller before. The cage additionally wasn't a prison intended to keep the evil within, but was rather just made to protect the statue from visitors. Don Simeon's remains have since been moved to a memorial park, with a few of his relatives being interred where he was. All of Don Simeon's 10 children have since passed away, including Sumilang, who died in 2002, never having married and presumably never having converted to Catholicism. Lubis had said that the statues could potentially be removed if people changed for the better and good prevailed over evil. But the devil's statue as of this recording remains where it is, continuing to stand triumphantly over the Archangel Michael. From a demon tomb statue in Malabon, we go to a neighborhood in Manila that bears the mark of the devil. The mark of the devil, or the number of the beast, comes from the Bible's New Testament book of Revelation. According to chapter 13, verses 15 to 18 of the New International Version, quote, "The second beast was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast, so that the image could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. It also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their forehead, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. That number is 666, end quote. Just like the rest of the apocalyptic book of Revelation, there have been many interpretations of what these verses might mean. Some say that they are a prophecy of a mandatory imprinting of the devil's mark as a requirement for all commerce and a precursor to God's wrath. Other interpretations suggest that the number 666 represents the world's unified governments or the names of world leaders in opposition to Christianity. But whatever the Bible's meaning was intended to be, the number 666, similar to a black cat or the number 13, is generally something that is feared. Barangay 666 in Ermita, Manila bears the unfortunate number, the only one of the country's 42,000 barangays to have that name according to the National Statistical Coordination Board. surrounded by other villages with a number for a name, Barangay 666 starts from Taft Avenue to the relief map of the Philippines, leading to parks and other attractions, to the famed Kilometer Zero and execution site of National Hero Jose Rizal, up to Quirino Grandstand and Manila Ocean Park. Aside from these landmarks, the barangay is home to the United States Embassy, National Parks Development Committee, Department of Tourism, National Historical Commission of the Philippines, National Library, and National Museum. Also in its jurisdiction, among other important routes, are Padre Burgo Street and United Nations Avenue. There are many ghost stories in Barangay 666, such as those of students seeing ghostly figures inside the National Library's reading room and comfort rooms, and those of government office workers hearing toilets flushing without anyone using them. There was also a strange suicide in 2012, that of a 21-year-old man who used to talk every night to an unseen figure before he hanged himself from a baleta tree. But in an interview with Manila Bulletin that year, Barangay 666 Chairman Felix B. Macapagal said that such stories are fictional, including that of the baleta hanging, which was thought by some to be due to the influence of the devil. According to Macapagal, the young man, whose name was Angelito, did hang himself to end his life, but he had been diagnosed earlier with a mental disorder which probably led to his suicide. Macapagal was fondly given the nickname Mac Diablo, an abbreviation of his last name, plus the Spanish word for devil, for having been the head of Barangay 666 for more than 2 decades since he was first elected in 1989. He has lived in the area since the 1970s, and despite all of the stories about his barangay being cursed with the devil's mark or places in the area being haunted, he doesn't believe in ghosts nor has he experienced anything supernatural himself. Ghost stories, he said, were just a ploy for parents to convince their children to sleep early at night. If anything, Macapagal said, quote, "Those live ones are whom we have to be afraid of, since dead people can no longer come back," end quote, noting the increasing number of criminals in the area, from pickpockets to riding in tandem gangs. Others seem to agree with Macapagal, such as Floriza Boclatin, a marketing and event specialist for the National Parks Development Committee, who said in a separate interview with Manila Bulletin that she hadn't yet experienced anything unusual at work, though the topic of ghost stories tended to always find a way into their workplace conversations. Divina Villacarlos, a security guard at the National Museum who would theoretically be in a better position to experience something supernatural at work, said that she hadn't yet seen anything scary despite being assigned to different floors of the building. Alan Mangahas, a janitor at the National Library, also claimed the same thing. He did say, however, that because he had heard many ghost stories from students who frequently went to the library, he would sometimes be afraid when left alone at the ground floor. But Mangahas clarified that though he would at times get scared, quote, "It still depends on the people's strong faith because I haven't experienced anything," end quote. A possible explanation for all the ghost stories that people tell about Barangay 666 is the age of some of the buildings in its jurisdiction. The National Library and National Museum, for instance, trace their history back to the establishment of the Museo Biblioteca de Filipinas in 1887. Though they had since changed locations a few times. Additionally, the city of Manila in general was left in shambles after the 1945 Battle of Manila, with Japanese forces committing mass murder against over 100,000 Filipino civilians. As for Barangay 666 being unlucky, Barangay Chairman Macapagal boasted the exact opposite about a particular landmark in the area. According to him, Luneta Hotel, a century-old six-story building on TM Callao Street, is, quote, "perhaps the only building in the Philippines which has a unique structure fixed at the exterior walls," end quote, pertaining to the carved winged lizard and monkey-like details that decorate the outside of the hotel, reminiscent of French Renaissance architecture. The Luneta Hotel survived the Battle of Manila, and Macapagal said, quote, "We think that there's someone protecting the building. Nobody has ever been hurt every time an accident occurs in the area, specifically when the designs are damaged or suddenly falls. That's why we think Luneta Hotel is unique," end quote. Macapagal said of Barangay 666 and the over 1,000 people that live in the area, quote, "We don't feel that 666 is unlucky. Actually, it seems lucky because we never get sick and my body is doing good, end quote. He has no plans to have the name of the barangay changed as, quote, our barangay is happy even if it is 666. It will be tedious to have it changed because it will have to undergo Congress. Since it is destined to become our number, we have already accepted it, end quote. And Makapagal emphasized that though their barangay's name bears the so-called mark of the devil or number of the beast from the Bible, the place is definitely not cursed and the residents are no devils. Thank you for listening to Stories After Dark, a Spotify exclusive powered by Anchor. The Don Simeon Bernardo story was suggested by Ange Santos via Instagram. This episode was written and produced by me, Derek, with Gideon Mendoza of the podcast Creepsilog lending his voice. Music is by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. You can find Gideon's podcast Creepsilog exclusively on Spotify. Stay tuned next week for a new episode, and to make sure you're updated about the show, please follow Stories After Dark on your Spotify app as well as on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you'd like to see the references used for this episode, suggest cases, send personal stories, or further support the show, you can go to storiesafterdark.ph for more information. All of the links are in the episode description.